It's a famous experiment that was conducted some decades ago in a university psychology department. They took two rats and put them in large beakers, about two-thirds filled with water, and they put a glass lid over the one and left the other open. The first rat, in an enclosed beaker with no possibility of escape, drowned in just under an hour. The second rat, with a future open, was mercifully pulled out, still swimming in that beaker 12 hours later, sopping wet, but still alive. The point of the illustration is you can live without a lot of things. Hope is not one of them. We're listening to Elijah this week. Last night we started, you remember, Ahab is king over all of Israel. He's married a woman named Jezebel. Jezebel is a little too Marfa in an alpine world. And that is causing all kinds of problems in Israel. And the Lord, you can repeat that someplace else. And Elijah appears on the scene and he confronts the king and he tells him, there will be neither dew nor rain in these next few years except by my word. And the Lord sent him to the brook Cherith and he went there and the brook dried up. And now we're going to follow along in the same story as God sends him on. If you have a copy of God's word, we're in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start in the next verse, which is number 8, and go on to verse 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. So Elijah went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. And she replied, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a little loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the land. And she went away and did as Elijah told her. And there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family, for the jar of oil was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Elijah. You have that picture in your mind. This woman is at the end of her rope. She has given up. She has no hope. She is literally gathering sticks in the street to make a little fire so she could make one last loaf of bread, and she and her son are going to eat it, and then they're going to die. And Elijah appears out of nowhere like he did for King Ahab, and he says, would you give me the first portion of your last meal? Now, how can Elijah ask her for that last bit of bread? How can he ask her literally for the food from her son's mouth? Because he's been to the dried up brook. And he has learned to cherish the memory of Cherith. He has lived his life dependent upon God's faithfulness. And he knows how to sing morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He's in this strange place, and he comes to this woman in her moment of need, and Elijah is living the simplicity on the far side of complexity. He has matured through his testing. You know, when you have that sort of simplicity and you haven't been through any yet, when you have that kind of thing before the testing, it's shallow. There's a hubris about it, an immaturity about it. But on the other side of the testing, it is a deep confidence in God. And Elijah trusts that the Lord is going to provide for him. And for her, the widow, not so much. Did you hear what she said? As surely as the Lord your God lives. She may have heard the word, God may have said there's somebody coming and you're supposed to provide for him, but she's not ready to bet her family on this promise. The Lord is not her God. And in the midst of this strange thing, scene, Elijah says the strangest thing, fear not. Now, how can he say that? She and her son are on the verge of death. If that cannot induce fear, if ever there was a place without hope, this is it. Now remember, Elijah came to Zarephath because he was told by the Lord that this woman is supposed to provide for him. And somehow he knows that his request is consonant with God's plan to provide for all of them. Elijah understands the Lord must be planning to provide for her because you cannot give what you do not have. And when he shared with her God's plan for provision, somehow it was in her life hope-inducing. Like a drink of cool water on a dry desert day. Suddenly, there was a possibility for rescue because Elijah said, with God, nothing is impossible. It is worth noting that the most frequently recurring words in all of the scripture are, fear not. You know why? Because we're always afraid. And the Lord knows each one of us is going to come to the place in our lives where we have to take the counsel of our fear or we have to take the counsel of our faith. And those roads lead different places. It's easier to not be afraid. It is easier to take the counsel of your faith when you're living around people who are living out their faith. Isn't that why we come here? Think about how we got here today. In 1916, there were a group of ranchers who gathered in this place. And they said, let's have revival. Let's let God's life pour itself back into us. Let's be refilled with life. 1916. And the Mitchells said, we'll take care of the grounds. 1916. The Coconuts said, we'll feed the folks who come. 1916, Charlie Elliott said, I'll invite George W. Truett and we'll get him here. And think about how we've been shaped by that. By Mary Robinson, who came here every year, and she never missed a missionary or a Bible study lesson or a worship. She was out late every night taking the preachers out to see the Marfalites. I got to go do that with her. She would take the women on a walk around the grounds and say who owned each cabin and how their families came to be here. And Miriam Collins, knowing how those walks were going to go, brought socks for the women who would go with them. And that shaped generations of people here. We're going to dedicate bells to Levi Price this year. That sound might call people into worship when the bells ring out. When there was a search committee looking for the new president, ultimately they called Bill Collins. Kathy Hillman talked to the committee and said, look, I want to review with you the last three presidents of Paisano. Three presidents ago, we had Levi Price, the pastor at First Baptist El Paso, and he was a really fine president. Two presidents ago, we had Levi Price, the director of pastoral ministry at Truett. And without all of the burden of being in the pastorate, he had more time to give. And that was amazing. And our last president was Levi Price, retired. And ain't nobody ever going to do it like that again. So don't think we're going to find that. And once they got back down to we could find a mere mortal to do this job, they found Bill Collins. And how good has that been for all of us? It is easier to live out your faith in hope when you're around people who are living out their faith. Suddenly, hope begins to grow in us too. You know what hope does? It gives life. Elijah said, the jar will not be used up and the jug will not run dry. And the Bible makes no effort at all to try to explain that miracle. The Bible seems to have no curiosity whatsoever about how that happened. It's a wonder, and that's enough. And yet we keep telling the story. and all those who hear it abide in a holy astonishment. It does not say they had all they wanted. It says they had all they needed. And we can live that way. You know, contentment, it's not having what you want. It is wanting what you have. You may not have the job you wanted, but you have a job. You may not be in the position you planned for, but you have enough. Sometimes just enough. And enough is an amazing thing. The Bible says there was a continuousness about the miracle. It wasn't that the widow came down one day into the kitchen and there was a 40-pound sack of flour and a gallon jug of olive oil in the pantry. It was instead the quiet daily drama of jar and jug. Morning by morning she looked and the jar of flour was full. Morning by morning she looked and there was oil in the jug, like manna. You couldn't bake bread for the weak, only for those who are weak. And yet, morning and evening, day after day, there was enough for her and for her son and for Elijah. And here is this woman in Sidon, and she can sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land. And the pancakes never tasted so good. Miracles are redemptive and restorative. Miracles overcome the result of sin in the world. They're like signposts pointing us to the kingdom that's coming. It's like when you're on I-10 and it seems like you've been on I-10 for hours and hours and hours because you've been on I-10 for hours and hours and hours. And you look up and there's this sign that says 67. And you make that veer to the right and you just know, I'm close to Paisano. And if you're like me, you get into Alpine and you look for that sign that says Porters. And then you kind of put a bunch of stuff in the cabin so you'll be ready for the reek. And you know, it's at hand. Miracles point us to the kingdom. They say, this is what it's going to be like. And there is a day coming when nobody's going to be hungry and nobody's going to be thirsty and nobody's going to be sick. And miracles say, that is where God is taking us. That is where this road leads us. And against every reasonable alternative, the widow heard, look, the jar of oil will not be used up and the jar of flour won't be used up and the jug of oil won't run dry. And she went and did what Elijah asked her to do. Because something in her heart heard hope in his words. Can I tell you something important? There is no such thing as foreign hope. There are foreign gods. The Lord, your God. But hope is domestic. Until it comes to where you are, until it lives in your heart, it's not really hope. For hope to be hope, it's got to make its way all the way to you. And you know what? She'll never be the same again. She risked everything for a future of hope. And why would she do that? I'll tell you what I think. She is following Elijah's path because she sees Elijah's faith. Her brook dried up. But she believes there's a future because he told her about it. Her brook dried up. And he told her, you know what? I live by a dried up brook too. And God was faithful to me there. Surely you know the story of Jim and Betsy Elliott. They were missionaries in South America. They wanted to take the gospel to the Awaka tribe. They were headhunters. They thought everybody else in the world was trying to kill them. Jim went with five companions up the Amazon River trying to share the gospel with these folks, and they tragically thought, these folks have come to kill us, so they preemptively killed them. And the last thing that Jim ever wrote in his journal was, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And his wife, Betsy, took their 4-year-old daughter and put her in a backpack and marched into the Amazon jungle and said, "Those people need Jesus," and took the gospel to them. Those people are living without hope. And I think if I could find a way to communicate the gospel to them, it would change the world. That widow, she went and did as Elijah told her, literally according to the word of Elijah. His word to her was like God's word to him. And he has shared the word in such a way that it has taken root in her life. Faith is staking everything you have and everything you are and everything that you do on the sheer word of God. Faith is wagering everything on the truth of God. And none of us are ever going to be more sophisticated than this widow was in that. We may have more stuff and we may have more education. We may know a little bit more about theology, but we will never be more faithful. Because at the end of the day, faith means leaning all our weight on the word of God and discovering it is worthy and it will hold us. And the truth is, every one of us has, and maybe again, lived by Cherith or in Zarephath. Everybody lives someday by a brook that has dried up, and all of us have to trust each day that there will be grace enough for this day. Elijah and the widow chose to trust in God in the hard days, chose to expect that something great would happen through the Lord because of his word. And that trust changed the way they lived every day of their lives. I don't know what you're going through, but I have lived enough seasons to be by a dry brook. And I keep learning how to trust God day by day. And some days I need real help and encouragement to do that. You're in the right place. There is more grace in this place than there is pain in your life. Hear that again. There is more grace in this place than there is pain in your life. And you are surrounded by people who came here today because they need God's grace too. Some of them have already received it and they can tell you the story. And more than you might guess came in faith this year, believing if they just check the jug and if they look in the jar this morning, there will be enough. Because that's how God cares for us. And if you trust him, there will be enough for you too. Believe it. Bet your life on it. Trust your family to it. There is enough. There is enough. There is enough. Well, would you pray with me? Gracious God, morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Help us in this Paisano week to remember your great faithfulness, not just our days, but generation to generation, that we might keep it going, not just the camp meeting, but the revival. Bless us as we go to eat. Bless the food to nourish from our bodies. Bless the fellowship to increase and nourish our spirits. And may we in this place indeed be rooted and established in love and nurtured by grace. For we ask it in the strong and saving, the providing name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.